If I could just ask you please to turn to the portion of Scripture that we read together. We're just going to ask the Lord to be with us this morning. Let us all pray. Our Father in heaven, we praise and thank Thee for the return of the Lord's day, that one day in seven that Thou hast set aside for us to come into Thy presence to bless Thy holy name. And we thank Thee, Lord, for the opportunity to come in health and strength and freedom. And we ask, Lord, at the very outset of this meeting, as we look into Thy Word, that Thou would give us a very special blessing. We thank Thee for Thy holy Word. We thank Thee that it is a lamp to our feet and a light to our pathway. And we ask that Thou would illuminate the page today, that Thou would speak to every single heart. Speak to my heart, Lord. May we be hearers not only, but help us to be doers of Thy precious truth. And so, Lord, we just ask once again, meet with us, take away every distraction, and speak to our hearts, we pray, for we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. When the dogs licked the blood out of the chariot of Ahab in Jezreel, it was unmistakably the hand of God in judgment upon that wicked king Ahab, the son of Omri, who sold himself to do wickedly in the sight of the Lord. When Eli heard the news of the Ark of the Covenant being taken and his own two sons being slain, he knew in his heart it was none other than the judgment of God upon the sin of his family. And when David's heart ached for his dying child, he knew that it was none other than the judgment of God upon his own sin. And these three examples reinforce to us again and again that God punishes sin, not only in those who believe not, but also in those of his children as well. We need, therefore, to be very careful. The Bible tells us to walk circumspectly, realizing that there is an adversary around about, that roaring lion who seeks to devour us and our families also. But let us contrast these three examples with three others. Darius, the king of Babylon, had signed an agreement that no one in the nation could ask a petition of anyone or any god for 30 days, save the king only. Daniel did not protest, but he did what he always did. He prayed to his God three times daily. This simple godly act convicted Daniel from this newly established law, and he was sentenced to death at the mouths of hungry lions. Daniel had not sinned. He did not try to inflame his position as a godly man in a heathen nation, and yet still he finds himself in deep trouble. Joseph, having been sold into slavery in Egypt, finds himself working as a slave in the house of Potiphar. He works hard. He maintains his integrity. He maintains his fear of God, and God prospers him until he becomes in the position of being the head of that home. Potiphar's wife, time and time again, comes to Joseph to try to get him to sin against his master and his God. But he refuses and rejects her advances. And for that righteous act, Joseph finds himself cast into prison, accused of the very crime that he had fled from. The third example is that we have looked at this morning, the example of Job. Job also finds himself in deep distress, though he served the Lord with all his heart. Job was a man that pleased God, and yet Job was called to pass through some very deep waters. And so this morning we have seen three examples of trouble brought upon a family and upon people's lives that have been brought upon by their own sin. Have we not all at some stage in our lives had trouble, and we knew in our hearts it was because of the path that we were going in? We were straying from the fold. We did not hear the voice of the shepherd, and the shepherd had to go and throw a stone at his sheep to prevent them from going farther. I know I've had that in my life. We experienced trouble, but it was because of our sin. But then contrasted to Ahab and Eli and David, we saw the examples of Daniel and Joseph and Job, all of who had major crises or trouble in their lives. And it wasn't obviously for any wrongdoing on their part. These three behaved righteously, and yet they were called upon to have some very real troubles in their lives. And their troubles were real. And they did not go away overnight. But these troubles were hard to bear, and they lingered. Is there anyone here this morning? And that's you. Oh, you have failed God many times, but you have tried your best. You have tried not to yield to temptation. You have tried to live for the Lord, and yet you find yourself today in trouble. You're cast down. There's a crisis in your life. In life, there are the mountaintops for all of us, and if we're not experiencing them now, they are in some distant memory, where things are going well, the days are blessed, the time flies by in enjoyment. But there are also those times of the valleys when we're cast down. And this morning is a message for the valleys of life. And for our lesson, we're going to look briefly at the life of Job and the crises and troubles in his life to see if there's any comparison in ours and to see what in this chapter is the message in the valley. Job, firstly, had trouble with his finances. Now, Job was a man of privilege. He was obviously financially a man of diligence and wisdom. The Bible describes him as the greatest of all the men of the East. So great was the wealth of Job. But in a very short period of time, Job lost his workers and all his livestock. His people and his inventory were all completely wiped out. He lost everything. I don't know if you know anybody like that. I know a man, he's about 70 today. And as a young man, he started a business. And he worked hard all his life. And that business was that provided for his family. And it became fairly successful. And just the way the economic times impacted his business and the loss of a major customer that he'd had for 30 years, that man lost everything. He had made personal guarantees to borrow the money for his equipment, and he had to pay that. And so he was completely wiped out. And today when I see that man, he's a very nice man, a Christian man, I feel very sorry for him, because I can enter into his pain knowing of what he has gone through. Job was such a man. Job had trouble with his finances. Now, Job hadn't made a foolish purchase. He hadn't stretched himself too thin. He hadn't taken on too much debt. But here, though he managed his affairs wisely, he finds himself in a grave financial crisis. Now, sometimes we find ourselves there also in financial crisis, and that can sometimes partly be because we've overspent. But there are times when a job has been lost, a venture has failed, a wife has had to quit a job in which the income was needed to look after a new baby, hours have been cut back, an injury has prevented from doing the job. Retirement sometimes catches up and we're not completely repaired. There is an unforeseen major house repair or a car repair. Unforeseen, unplanned financial troubles. And sometimes they happen, and they can happen to anyone. Job was the wealthiest man in the East, and yet a grave financial crisis happened in his life. Financially, perhaps things for you today are okay. Well, there is no guarantee that they will be the same tomorrow. Job is an example of that. And I think that the economic times that we are living in are perilous times. Certainly in my lifetime, they're unprecedented. The way the price of oil is driving up so many commodities, it's becoming a very, very difficult time for people just to be able to get by. And today, for you, it might be a time of financial trouble. Well, if it is, it was for Job. And there is a message from God's Word for you today. Not only did Job have financial trouble, but he also had family trouble. Job had a wonderful family, 7 sons and 3 daughters. And I imagine when they had family get-togethers, Job was there in the middle, and I'm sure it was a great and wonderful time. Job was a great example of a spiritual leader. Look at verse 5 of the chapter we read. And it was so when the days of their feasting were gone about that Job sent and sanctified them and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, "It may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their heart." Thus did Job continually. Such was the care of this father for his family. We looked at the high priest Eli earlier, who didn't restrain his evil sons, and they were taken away from him. But such was not the case in Job. Last November, we were asleep, and we were awakened with a phone call at 3:00 in the morning. And I'm sure many of you have had such phone calls. And when the phone rings, there is a foreboding, because you know that the news will never be good. And that news that night was to say that the 21-year-old husband of my wife's 20-year-old niece had been killed in a motorcycle accident at midnight. And those phone calls relating to that accident, as they passed through the various family members, plunged that family into pain and grief, some of which will never go away. Job was about to get such a call. Oh, the financial trouble he had was bad, but this was worse. Let's look at verse 18 and 19. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, Thy sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house. And it fell upon the young man, and they are dead. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. Job and his family, at least what was left of his family, his wife, were no doubt devastated with this news. And perhaps this morning, there's one here who knows what it is like to lose a child. And as parents, I imagine for everyone, the thought of losing a little one or a grown-up son or daughter is one that is too horrible even to contemplate. What words of comfort can be brought to a mother or father who have had a little baby and have watched them grow with joy only to lose them through an illness or an accident? Job knew what it was like because in one day his whole precious family was completely wiped out. Yes, Job had trouble in his family. But you know, family troubles can take many different forms. There can be heartaches with children and accidents or illness, but also in their pain. Parents enter into the pain of their children, whether that be physical anguish or mental. And if you could, you'd want to bear that pain yourself, but you can't do that. And when children get older, sometimes when children are small, there is a lot to do. There's feeding and diapers and car seats and crying. All distant memories for me, I hope anyway. But when those children get older, in teenage years, 20s, 30s, perhaps even older than that, there are still worries for the parents. Sometimes even more worries. Your children get married. You worry about their marriage. You worry about their finance. You worry about their future. You worry about their children. Is that you today? Are you sometimes bowed down with the cares of worrying about your family? If you are that person, God has a message for you today. Not only did Job have financial and family trouble, but he also had health trouble. Let's look at verse 7 of the second chapter. So went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown. I don't know if anyone here has had a boil. I don't know. I used to hear about boils. I don't seem to hear too much about them anymore. But I remember having one once, and it certainly was very, very painful. But can you imagine being covered with those extremely painful open wounds? And here Job sits. His livestock and business has all been destroyed. His family, all of his children have died, and now his health is taken away. Must have been very difficult to bear. You know, if you have a simple temporary illness like the flu, how that your whole life basically shuts down because of that illness. You're so low. There doesn't seem to be any joy in anything just because the way that your body feels. But what if that illness is not temporary, like the flu? Perhaps it's something very much more serious. Just in the last number of months, a girl that we know of, 42, a mother of some children, life was going well, busy as it always is for a mother. One day she just recently discovered a lump. Within days, she was rushed in for breast removal, and then she began rounds of chemotherapy so strong that not only her hair fell out, but also her eyelashes and fingernails. So delicate was her skin that she wasn't able to touch anything because even her skin could come off. Her whole life was changed so drastically because of an illness. Perhaps you and I are fine today, but we do not know what may happen in the near or distant future. Job's life now revolved around the pain which he felt. He tried to go on, but it was very, very difficult. Now, I know many here have had some very serious illnesses and health problems, and you know firsthand how difficult it is. You know how discouraging, you know how difficult it is just to go on, just because the pain you feel in your own body. If that's you this morning, God has a word for you. Not only did Job have financial troubles and family troubles and health troubles, but he also had troubles with his friends. Here Job finds himself in this great predicament, and his friends can only come and suggest that it must have been some sin in his life that makes him to find himself in this great calamity. Instead of helping and comforting Job, his friends can only make matters worse. Even his best friend, his wife, suggested that he curse God and die. His friends didn't understand. His wife didn't understand. And in his trouble, as far as any human comfort was concerned, Job found himself completely alone. And so today, if you are going through some trouble and your friends don't understand, perhaps even your loved ones don't understand, and nobody seems to care and you feel all alone, God has a word for you this morning. Job suffered a lot of things, more perhaps than any of us will ever suffer. But in his life, the Lord unfolds to us a great lesson to help us through those valleys, those times of suffering and loss. Because for each of us, there will be hardships, there will be difficulties, there will be for all of us tears and struggles, there will be illness, there will be loneliness. Our finances may fail. Our friends and even our loved ones may fail. And it may one day seem that for us, all human comfort is gone. And so when all these things were stacked against God's servant Job, what did he do? In the midst of tragedy and despair, let's see what Job did. Let's look at chapter 1, please, in verse 20. Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped and said, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Job blessed God, and he trusted him. He didn't first question the circumstances. He didn't blame God for his trouble. but he humbly in his heart submitted to the will of God, and he blessed God and trusted him. Job could not see how the tapestry of his life would unfold, but he believed and trusted in a loving God. You know, some of God's most precious saints have had very difficult lives. We learned the story of a hymn writer just a number of weeks ago who lost his children at sea and yet was able to say, it is well with my soul. A godly preacher, Robert Murray McShane, dies at 29 with a life of ill health. Disciples of the Lord put to death because of their faith in him. Godly parents who have lost little ones. And yet how many of these lives, these difficult lives, have been characterized with a blessing of God and a trust in him. And so today, if your finances are in trouble, do not spend your days in worry, but trust God and bless him. If your family is in difficulty today, trust God and bless him. If you have trouble with even your closest friends, perhaps even your husband or wife, trust God and bless him. If your health is getting you down today and you're discouraged, the message of this chapter is, trust God and bless him. God knows the way ahead. He knows what the end shall be for all of us. We cannot even see 1 minute ahead. Sometimes we plan as if we were, but we don't know even what is around the corner. But God knows what is ahead for each of us. Job could not see the end, and yet though he was in deep despair, he trusted God and blessed him. And what an end it was for Job. How that his latter end was even twice as much as what he had originally. God so rewarded the faithfulness and patience of his servant. In conclusion, what faces you today? What will face you tomorrow? No matter what it is, whether pleasing or painful, trust God and bless him. Whenever the days shall be bright or cloudy, trust God and bless him. Whether the wind is peaceful or stormy, trust God and bless him. Today, if you are on the mountaintop of blessing or you're in the valley of despair, trust God and bless him. Whether you are in a crowd of people or very much all alone, trust God and bless him. Whether your body is full of the vigor of youth or you found yourself even to do the smallest task a burden, trust God and bless him. And remember, God loved Job. Though he passed through great difficulties, yet that love that God had for Job never changed. And though today you might find yourself with some great burden, remember, God loves you. He knows every detail of your situation, and he will work all things out for your blessing and his glory if you only come to know the truth that Job learned, to trust God and to bless him. Thank you, everyone, for listening today.